it already on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This is first year.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay, my name is Joanne Thompson, and I'll be teaching the class on prayer. Does everybody have their book? Do you know what book it is that we're going to be using? This is going to be your primary textbook for this class. This is what I'm going to teach from primarily, but periodically, I will pull in other books that Apostle has shared. It won't be a whole lot, but anytime I do that, I'll always let you know. For example, tonight, only one or two statements. You don't need to buy the book unless you just want it. He told us about this one, Prayers That Release Heaven on Earth. And there was just a couple of statements in that I really liked. He's saying the same thing that our author is saying, but he just said it just a little bit plainer to me. Do y'all have the role for this class?
I think they'd be working on second year.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't want to go too far until they get here. And you can let me know at 9:25, since the class ends at 9:30. I know they went a little bit over, but that's okay. We'll make it up. Okay, and well, they already know this. Now, in this class, there are a couple things that we will be doing. This class is a class not only by precept, meaning we're not going to just be teaching what's in the book, but we will also be praying, okay? And when I use the word praying, I'm usually talking, more about praying in the spirit, praying in other tongues. And I always let, the students know that if you are not baptized, in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, let us know. Okay, and we will be happy to minister to you. And I can assure you before the class is over, amen, you'll be speaking. Here comes second year. Yeah, we didn't want to go too far. First of all, you know my name, so I was just telling them my name. Told them about the book. That, this is the book that we are primarily going to be using, and that periodically I will bring in other information that Apostle has given us. For example, I don't know if any of you heard him talk about Prayers That Release Heaven on Earth, John Eckhart. You don't have to buy the book. There were a couple things in here that I really liked, like last year for the second year students. There was another book, And I do have it, that he gave us, where we looked at how to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I like the way that other book did it. But I'll always let you know. Second year students always know that I don't just teach from the book, but that at some point we will also be praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Okay. All right. Okay, they're coming in. I don't want to leave out our online students, second-year online students. So glad to have you back. First-year students, again, my name is Joanne Thompson, and this is the class on prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to give you praise, honor, and glory. And Lord God, to just say thank you. We are so grateful, Father God, for this opportunity to come to this school, Lord God, to learn, Father, more about you, about your will, about your purpose, about your plan, Lord God, for us. We thank you, Lord God, for our apostle, Dr. Leroy Thompson, Sr. We thank you for all the instructors, and we thank you for all the students, Father. Give us ears to hear you. Give us eyes to see and hearts to understand and to receive. We give you the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, don't forget to sign the roll, okay? Let's see. I want to make sure I tell the second year students the same thing I told the first year students. I think that was it. You know, y'all have your books from last year, right? Same book. No difference. I think it's very, very important for you as students, and I'm going to address primarily first-year students, to understand the importance of prayer. I can't even begin to find words to describe where we are in this ministry and where Apostle is and where he's taken us. In order for you to understand what he's saying, what he's doing, you will have to pray. If you do not pray, you're going to be lost. You're not going to understand. You're not going to be able to comprehend. I'm a part of a leadership class right now, and I think Dr. Montrell, he says, you know, Apostle is up here, you know, in terms of his relationship with God and his attention to the things of God, and, you know, we're down here, okay? And so if you're going to understand, you know, what he's saying and what's going on, by all means, you're going to have to pray. And, you know, a lot of times people look at the class on prayer and, you know, they minimize it. Well, it's not as important as apostolic strategies. No, it's not. But this class will help you with the apostolic. Okay, always remember that. This class will help you with all the other classes. I know a lot of you are working and you're rushing and you're trying to get here. Pray in the spirit on your way here. Build yourself up. Get your spirit man ready to receive. Amen. Because you want to receive. At this day and this time, you want to receive everything that the apostle is going to be putting out. Amen. The best way to do that is for you to have your spirit man built up and ready. Okay? All right. So I just needed to say that. Prayer for the believer is not an option. It's a command. Okay? It's a command from God. It's time for God's people to get on board with God's plan and to diligently pray and work to see the fulfillment of God's plan for his church. You know, we never think about prayer as having to do anything with the fulfillment of God's plan for his church. And what we're going to be learning a little bit about, what is God's plan for his church? We're going to be surprised with some of it. Amen? You're going to learn that primarily from Apostle. We should understand that God's plan is to establish and advance his kingdom. Establish and advance his kingdom. There are two scriptures that we're just going to look at tonight. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and Matthew 6. This is not in your book. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Matthew chapter 6. We should understand that God's plan is to establish and advance his kingdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Do y'all have it? Okay. Y'all ready? We're going to read this together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I hear a few pages. Okay. Ready? Let's read. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. And remember what I just said, that we should understand that God's plan is to establish and advance his kingdom. Matthew 6, verse 10. Ready, let's read. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that operative word is thy, talking about God's will. God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The fundamental reason we pray is to have intimate relationship with God. It is to, now this is in your book, it is to know him, his ways, why he does the things he does, and how he does them. That's a lot. That's why we pray, to know God. You're not going to get to know God unless you spend time with God. And how we spend time? In prayer and in fellowship and in worship and in praise. That's how we spend time with God. It is to know him, to know his ways, why he does the things he does. We don't always know that right away. You know, eventually we know it, but, you know, we got to just trust him and how he does them. Now, you know, God does not do things the way we think he should do it or ought to do it. You know, I don't know how many times you have been surprised like I was about how he did something. You know, we have our own preconceived ideas about how you ought to do it. And most time it does not turn out that way. I've heard apostles, you know, tell us, you know, sometimes, you know, he'll tell you to do some of the thing that looked just so foolish. It's just like, why? You want me to do that? You know, and we have examples all in the Bible. You know, the man blind, he take mud and put in the man's eye. You know, you would think, no, that's not the way you get somebody to see. But that's what the Bible shows us. Amen? About our God. You know, he does not do things the way we think that he ought to do it. And then the author says, it's to know God's deepest secrets. Do you want to know God's deepest secrets? Do you really want to know them? You're going to have to spend time in prayer and communing with him. God's desire has always been to have intimate communion with his people. In the book of Genesis, the word teaches that God walked and talked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He walked and talked in the Garden of Eden. In preparation for this lesson, I found myself asking the question, what in the world did they talk about? Stop and think about that. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden. All their needs were met. There was no lack. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was nothing for them to worry about. What in the world did they talk with God about? You know, it's just, I mean, just let your mind go. I mean, it's no right or wrong answer. It's not a quiz or anything like that. But just think about it. What in the world? You know, he says God desires to have this intimate communion with his people. So here they are in the Garden of Eden, all of their needs met, and they're walking and talking with God. What are they talking about? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Look at this flower. How beautiful it is. Isn't it pretty? And look at this tree. Look at how big it is. And look at this animal. And Adam, you named him dog. You name him dog. You can name him cow. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I'm pretty sure there was just so much thanksgiving. There was so much gratitude. You know, all of their needs were met. Do you know that that's the kind of communion God still wants with us? But we are so busy communing with him about our needs. We believe that God is getting ready to take care of all of our needs. And will we at that point spend time talking with him about all of his good things that he has done for us, the way Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden? I am a part of the prayer leadership here at Word of Life Christian Center. And, you know, one of the targets or as a part of our agenda that we are currently praying is that heaven would invade earth. You know, that's what we're praying. We are praying for the days of heaven on earth. Going back to what you heard Apostle say in the class, okay? Just think about, you know, what he's saying. He's talking about apostle, apostleship, and apostolic. Amen. Word of Life Christian Center is an apostolic church. Amen. And we are concerned about God's will being done here on earth. And we want to see, amen, we want to see heaven on earth. And so we pray that heaven would invade earth. And you see how different that is from just bless me, take care of me. You know, it's talking about God, and it's talking about God's plan, you know, for the earth realm. And he wants us to be more concerned about his plan and his purpose than we are about our own. Because when we become concerned about his plan and his purpose and what he wants, then he's going to see to it. I've heard apostles say that over and over and over, that God then is going to see to it that all of our needs are going to be taken care of. Amen? Amen. So y'all just let your mind think about what in the world did Adam and Eve talk with God about in the Garden of Eden? And just let me know what you come up with, okay? Let me know what you come up. The author talks about the fundamental reason, and I remember last year somebody got this all mixed up in on one of the little tests that I administered. And he was talking about the reason and then the purpose. And a few minutes ago, I said the fundamental reason we pray is to have intimate relationship with God. And then he says, what is the main purpose of prayer? There are many reasons, but the main reason prayer exists is to give us an opportunity to have communion with God. Same thing. That's the main reason, to have communion, to have fellowship with God on an intimate level. And then he says, communion, you know, what is communion? And then he gives us that word, and I've heard it pronounced koinonia, talking about an intimate relationship. It's a Greek word for communion, which means to have something in common, fellowship, participation, friendship, communication, dialogue. I heard one minister also express koinonia as intercourse, you know, being so connected that, you know, you're just having that intimate relationship, you know, with you and God. That's what he's describing when he's talking about communion. Therefore, communion with God is to have friendship, dialogue, and fellowship with him, establishing a close relationship because this is his desire. This is God's desire to have that close communion and fellowship with us. And then we're gonna skip a little bit here to go down to the purpose of prayer. Our author was saying that people do not understand the purpose of prayer. And then he went on and he talked about just the word purpose. And the word purpose, it just means what is the original intention for which something was created. So what was the original intention for prayer? People do not pray because they don't always see satisfactory or positive results. You know, if it doesn't happen right away, you know, we don't pray. We figure when we say Our Father, You know, it's supposed to happen right then and there. It doesn't always happen that way. It does sometimes, but not always. God is a God of purpose. We must understand who God is and that he will guide us to the purpose of prayer. You know, that's what he will do. He will guide us in that. The three main reasons why God created man. You got to understand, why did he create us? Man was created to reflect God's nature and to have close relationship with him. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created us to reflect his character, love, mercy, compassion, righteousness, peace, authority, and his power. These things can never be evident unless we have a close relationship with him. God created humanity to fulfill his plan, his purpose, and his will on earth. God created man with the ability to function on earth, thus giving him legal rights, freedom, and authority to operate in it and to have lordship over all creation. God created man to have dominion over all things. And again, we go back to Genesis 1 and 26. How did God give man the ability to take dominion? God created man with a spirit that came directly from him. The human race had no choice but to govern the physical world. God gave man a physical body. If something does not have a body and a soul, it is illegal. Because of this reason, God had to come to earth in a physical body, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Three things God established from the beginning is found in Genesis 1:26. Number one, God is sovereign, as his word is sovereign. God limits himself with his word. He is unable to go beyond what he has said are established. God never violates his own word. Everything that God declares is law. God established in his word that for something to be done on earth, it must be done through a physical body, through the spirit. Amen? You know, he needs us. If it's going to be done here on earth, he needs a man or a woman with a physical body to ask for that to be done here on earth. And I'm going to add, as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. He needs us to do that. God became Emmanuel. That means God with us. God is unable to interfere in any situation on earth without the prayer of the believer. Prayer is the equivalent of man giving God the legal right to do his will on earth. And how do we find God's will? God's will is his word. Amen. It's his word. God is looking for someone who lives in a physical body to stand in the gap for his people and pray. We find in Ezekiel 22 and 30, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Amen. Isn't that something? That's what he says over in Ezekiel. But I found none. That's not going to be the case with us. Amen. God is going to give us assignments. We're going to have prayer targets, and we're going to be lifting up people and praying for people. And when the law says, you know, I need you to do this, we're going to do it. Am I right? Amen. That's what we're going to be doing. Glory to God. You're not praying by yourself anyway. You know, you got a helper. The Holy Spirit is right there to help you, to guide you, to nudge you. You know, this is what I want you to pray. And he'll speak to you. And, you know, this is the one thing about praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, your spirit man is built up to become more sensitive to hear God and to hear what God is saying. You know, a lot of times, you know, I think things are not happening for us because we're not built up on the inside. Our spirit man is not built up, and God is speaking. He's always speaking, always speaking. But we have not really put ourselves in a position to always hear him. Amen. And so when we pray and when we learn how to pray and learn how to pray more effectively in line with God's will, in line with his purpose, then I think he's going to be able to speak so that we can really hear. And we're, you know, we're going to put ourselves in a position to hear what it is that he is saying. Amen.
Amen.
We're co-laborers with God. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God." Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Luke 11:1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And so, you know, that's what we're doing right here. Amen?
Amen.
We are learning to pray. You know, I don't know how many of you were like I was. Well, the good thing about me was I knew I didn't know how. You know, I knew Our Father, and that's what I, you know, the people from second year, they heard me tell that. I knew Our Father. But when this man wrote this book and he was talking about these different kinds of prayer, I mean, I was just lost. It's like, what is he talking about? Binding and loosening and thanksgiving and praise. It's like, what is he talking about? I only know one kind of prayer, and that's Our Father. That's all I knew at the time. And then, you know, he said, well, put the book up, you know, if you can't receive it. And then, you know, you'll want it again. And that's what I did. I mean, then I got in a position, the more I began to learn, then I could go back and get that book. And then I could read it, and then I could understand more about what he was talking about, you know. And we can always learn, always be in a position to be teachable, amen. As you're sitting here in these classes, you're gonna be finding that you're gonna be learning so much. It's gonna be like, oh my God, how can I contain all of this, amen? But remember, you don't want to contain it here anyway. You want to contain it here. And then what I found is that when situations and circumstances come up, it will come up. Amen. What you have heard, you may not know the exact words. It might only just be a phrase, but you will remember, I heard that. Sometimes you'll go back to your notes. Sometimes you'll go back to a book, and there it is. And it's going to be the exact thing that you need at that particular moment. Amen. You know, and every class always says, you know, well, our class was the best class. Every class through this school. I mean, I was here, I think it was, I want to say 1997. I don't know. I wasn't a charter class either. There were people before me. But every year, we always say that class was the best class. God knows who's here. Amen. Amen. And he knows exactly what it is that you need. And he will speak through the instructors. Amen. To give you answers to your questions, to give you solutions to your problems, to encourage you, and to help to build you up. Amen?
Amen.
And just know that. Just know that you are here to receive. Glory to God. The disciples only asked one thing of Jesus. It was to teach them how to pray. They did not ask to be taught how to perform miracles or cast out demons. Isn't that something? They asked to be taught how to pray. Jesus' secret to the success of his ministry was his prayer life. Amen. He prayed. Jesus spent hours doing one thing and seconds doing another. He prayed 5 hours and later only needed 2 seconds to heal the blind man. Amen. Yeah, he did more praying, you know. And we would think in the natural, the opposite, that it would take more time to get the blind man healed. We, the church, do things the other way around. We spend a few minutes with God in prayer and later take many hours ministering to the people in Jesus' name. Amen. But if we, you know, when we get to the point that we start praying more and we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you won't be talking to everybody, but you'll be talking to the person that God says, now I want you to go and minister to this person. And that person, you know, he's already working on that person. When he tell it to you, he's already working on that person. Amen. And then you're going to be able to minister to them in like 5 or 10 minutes and go on about your business and their business too. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When we spend time in prayer. But we've got to, Jesus is our pattern. Let's pattern our lives after him. You know, he spent more time praying than he did in doing the actual work. Hours spent with God make the time we spend with people more effective. These are just little nuggets, and all this is in your book. The time we spend with God is not wasted. It is invested. Jesus' first priority was not in ministering to men, ready, but to God. Amen. He ministered to God. What is needed for God to do his will on earth? A man or a woman who is available. Amen. That's all God needs. A man or a woman who is available. Then Isaiah 6:8, it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the way we want to be. You know, Lord, your purpose, your plan, your will, Lord God. Here am I. Send me. Because remember what I started off saying, that it's time for God's people to get on board with God's plan and to diligently pray and work to see the fulfillment of God's plan for his church. And remember that God's plan is to establish and advance his kingdom. Establish and advance his kingdom. Okay? All right. That was a little bit of chapter 1, most of chapter 2, and then we'll fill in the middle next week. Go through, how many of you have your handbooks and have had an opportunity to look through the handbooks? In the handbooks, it lets you know when your tests will be. Online students, I will post your quiz for tonight on tomorrow. I believe you have 1 week to complete your quiz. Online students know that they can always email any questions. If any of you have any questions, I encourage you just to go ahead and just write them down. I'll do my best to answer. If I can't, then I'll just kick it on up to someone who can answer you. Amen?